You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with Monday Night Football. All right, Russell Wilson is the NFL's version of James Bond.
Mm.
Feels like every week he puts out a new action-adventure movie. Dr. Yes, From Seattle with Love, The Man with a Golden Arm. Last night in San Francisco versus the league's best defense, Russ starred in Die Another Day. You remember Die Another Day.
Mm-hmm.
Halle Berry was in it. Yeah. Pierce Brosnan played 007. Bond was captured and tortured for 14 months by the North Koreans.
Bond.
49ers defense captured and tortured Wilson throughout regulation and well into overtime. Halfway through overtime, the 49ers intercepted Wilson, drove down to the Seattle 30, and set up for a would-be game-winning field goal with 3 minutes left. Of course, the 49ers shanked the field goal. Somehow, the game featured three more possessions, with Wilson getting the ball last, and of course, he drove the Seahawks to the game-winning field goal as the clock expired. Seattle 27, San Francisco 24. Wilson slayed the last remaining undefeated team in the game with as many plot twists as you would expect in a Bond thriller.
That was the craziest game I've ever been a part of. I mean, you know, talking about a Monday Night Football game, it felt like NFC Championship game right there. Just back and forth, two great teams going after it. We knew it was going to come down to the wire. I said it earlier in the week, I thought it was going to come down the wire. Didn't think it was going to come down to overtime, no more time on the clock kind of wire, but that's just a true amazing moment, wildest game, most amazing game I've been a part of for sure.
All right, you might argue that defensive end Jadeveon Clowney was the true hero of last night's Bond movie. He certainly was the best player on the field. No way Seattle wins that game without Clowney's exploits. The 49ers jumped out to a 10-0 lead and seemed to be well on their way to a blowout victory when Clowney scooped up a Jimmy Garoppolo fumble and ran it into the end zone. That play changed the game. Later, Clowney recorded a strip sack that set Seattle up for another score. Clowney abused San Francisco's offensive tackles and spent most of the night in the backfield disrupting Jimmy G's rhythm. It was Clowney's best performance as an NFL player. Last night, Clowney justified Seattle's decision to trade for him. But Clowney's a supporting actor. He's Joe Pesci.
Mm.
He's going to steal some scenes. You're going to remember his character in every movie he's in. But Russell Wilson is Sean Connery. Russ is a leading man. He faced the best defense in the NFL and found a way to deliver points when it mattered most. Was this Wilson's best Bond movie? No. This wasn't Goldfinger or Skyfall. Die Another Day ranks toward the bottom of Bond movies. But Wilson's performance did nothing to damage his MVP candidacy. Russ remains the front runner. More important, last night's game establishes the Seahawks as a legitimate Super Bowl threat out of the NFC. They're not going to finish with the best record in the NFC. That's fine. But if Clowney's going to perform at an all-pro level the rest of the way, the Seahawks will be the most dangerous team in the postseason. Clowney was the weapon Russ needed to secure to make the Seahawks the best team in the NFC. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington and college football analyst Reggie Bush. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Think the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC?
No, I don't think that they are. I don't think the game plan was for
supposedly the best team in the NFC, to go out there and hope that a backup field goal kicker misses a game winner. That's not the game plan. And that's what occurred. They beat a team that was undefeated, that didn't look undefeated, in part because of injuries. But if you look at it, I just think this year is a wide tier one. Like, let's just be respectful of the mm-hmm. situation. When you talk about that tier one, obviously these two teams are in there, but the Vikings, if I had to put some money on a team and just say, watch for that team, the Vikings, interesting with that ground game especially. We know that the Cowboys, the Packers deserve to be in there, the Saints as well, because they all have owned real estate in terms of what's the best team this year in the NFC. So if you just respect that wide a boundary of teams, they're up there, but I don't say that they're the best.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't know if they're the best team, and I think right now still anybody's game in the NFC. Like you just mentioned, a bunch of teams. But we're going to learn a lot about this 49ers team very soon, because they still got to go on the road to the Ravens, Saints, Seahawks. Those three can be losses right there. And so we're going to learn a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo and about this 49ers team. Yes, they did lose the game to a divisional
rival. Stick to Seattle. We're going to talk about 49ers next.
So then Seattle, yes, I do. I don't believe that they're the best team as of right now. I believe it's still kind of wide open.
Look,
for a lot of
Seattle got here. They're 8-2 now. They got to 7-2 without Clowney being Clowney.
Yeah.
That's the first time I think we saw the number one overall pick look like, wow.
Yeah.
And if he, again, he doesn't have to play like, but if he's a consistent factor, you don't think this elevates Seattle more than what you had going into this game?
I think it definitely elevates them, but to say right now that they are the best team in NFC, I'm not ready to say that yet. I do believe Russ is the MVP right now.
About to get to that.
Oh, whoa.
We got a lot of
damn, Reggie.
Now. I can't talk about
it. Reggie just got here.
Seattle, no. No, I don't think they're the best team in the NFC, and I think it's based upon their defense. Even though Jadeveon had a great showing last night and was happy.
Their defense just clowned a hell of an offense that got both their offensive tackles back.
But with that being said, again, and I'll use your own words, when you're going up against a Drew Brees, or when you end up going against an Aaron Rodgers, you go up against that upper echelon's higher tier quarterback, it's hard to think that Garoppolo may be able to keep up with what's going on out there. Or excuse me, Russ.
Right.
And Seattle and with that defense would be able to keep up. I think Russ did what he needed to do, but you got a key injury to Tyler Lockett right now.
He's going to be fine.
I just don't have a tremendous trust for the defense or for the offense at that to be able to maintain a high enough level of
execution. You're not sold on Clown.
I'm not sold on the Seattle Seahawks team.
I'm not sold on that Clowney being that guy every single game. As you said, that was the best Clowney you've seen this year. Maybe ever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't bank on just that. And look, they were going against a team without their favorite target in Kittle. They lost Sanders in the first half. Like, Jimmy G looked like a guy who was like, I don't have my targets. Yeah. So that helped them.
Injuries, right? The injuries are part of this game. And so the one thing I do believe in with the Seattle Seahawks is I believe in Russell Wilson, because week in and week out, who is doing it better than him? Who is constantly putting their team in positions to win? It don't matter if it's 21-point deficit, 14-7, fourth quarter, overtime. He is always going to find a way to get his team back into winning positions.
Yeah. Well, I won't disagree.
Why you making that face?
I won't disagree.
Until you throw
that
a pick and then the game should be over. Bro.
Okay, but you come back. Right, he's the second pick of the year, and we got to make a big deal out of the biggest moment in the game.
Y'all yelling, making it a bigger deal out of it to me. I'm just saying, if Russell Wilson had it his way, that game was over and they lose. But they didn't. So respect for him putting him in. Look,
what about the poor clock management by San Fran at the end of the game? Not to run the ball one time.
I think that goes to the point of what Marcellus is making right now. I think the San Francisco 49ers played their way out of winning that game versus Russell.
Is that
and the Seahawks
Seattle's
winning
fault,
that game.
Though.
No, you
Seattle
take what
did
you
what they're supposed to
do. But he threw an interception
I get it. But why are y'all acting like Clowney had nothing to do with the horrible performance by the San Francisco offense? If y'all defensive players, if you're in the backfield that much disrupting the quarterback, that's what's going to happen.
But we,
that's on Clowney.
But respect to a defensive lineman looking like that, but the best offensive lineman out there is the quarterback delivering the ball. If the quarterback is comfortable with the targets, if those are his top two targets that are still on that field, you may not be getting to the quarterback, Jadeveon Clowney. And that's what I'm factoring in a rematch and seeing this team down the line when it matters even more. You're probably going to see those top two targets with a Garoppolo who had his best game last week against Arizona. So let's not act like Garoppolo just fell off a cliff. He realized quickly in this game, after having a 10-0 lead, I don't have the same guys out there and things.
Clowney beat up on some really good line.
Oh, yeah. That
Joe
came
Staley,
back healthy.
Hall of Famer, he ran right over him.
Seattle's secondary played well. Seattle's second level has Bobby Wagner, probably the best middle linebacker in football.
Yeah.
I like Seattle a lot. Let's go to where Reggie wants us to go.
Reggie, ready to go? You ready to go, Reggie?
I'm going to cut. Russell Wilson, did he do enough to remain the front runner in the MVP?
Boy, these loaded questions. What do you mean remain?
Everybody but you has him as the front runner.
I don't have him.
Every gambling site, everybody has him.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not listen to the announcers? They kept saying he's the MVP.
Good Lord, did I keep. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm throwing everything at the TV. Can y'all remember who I am? No. Russell Wilson, as a matter of fact, if you had him as your leader, you certainly have to question that or put him behind. Your leader, in four quarters of football, your MVP had 155 yards. I'm just going to let you know that.
Wait, so who are you saying is MVP?
In five quarters of football, he barely topped 200 yards and threw a critical interception that should have been a game-losing interception.
One of two all season.
I don't give a damn. I'm just saying he threw it then. And then if you think about what Russell Wilson did against this defense, everybody's going to say, it's the defense. Do y'all remember Kyler Murray having a perfect second half against this team and putting up 195 pass yards in two quarters where it took Russell four quarters to do less? I'm just letting you know, if we're going to start splitting hairs and doing this value comparison, it's still Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson has electrifying moments. And I'm going to give you that third down and Russell scrambled for 21 yards in molasses. And Lamar Jackson ran, here it is. Look at that. Compared to Lamar Jackson's
when he's trying to win the game.
Look at the difference. Just look at
that
this.
Just looks a little different.
We're trying to say who the MVP is.
Ain't nobody here trying to compare the athleticism of Russell Wilson.
Those are winning moments.
Lamar
though.
Jackson.
Winning moments.
You can't compare that. You can't compare him to nobody else in this league right now.
That's why he's MVP.
But we're talking about Mr. Steady Eddie.
True.
Who's always going to have his team in position. I don't care who it is. Mm. It's Russell Wilson.
Except at the end of that game.
Did they win the game?
He left the field thinking, oh, man, I done gave this.
Did they win the game?
I hope Herm Edwards isn't watching. I hope he's on the practice field because clearly, Marcellus, you play to win the game. That's what it's all about. The scoreboard. You play.
Lamar
to
didn't win. Did Lamar win? It's Herm.
He just beat the undefeated team with the best defense.
Lamar beat the Patriots with a better defense.
And to that point,
he beat this team.
Head to head.
Keep going, Herm and Jason Whitlock. Keep telling me about football.
He beat Russ head to head. Mm-hmm. And he was the catalyst of why they won. They are a field goal away from losing that game. A field goal away. Mm. You can't. He did nothing to distance himself from the competition.
I think it's neck and neck. I wouldn't say he's like a shoe-in.
Well, here's the thing. They're neck and neck, and he's one game ahead of Lamar. Lamar has a signature opportunity this weekend against your Texans with Deshaun Watson. So
every week is going to be a signature week.
I have not seen Lamar Jackson act disappoint yet one time. I would be interested to see how well he plays on Sunday because depending on that, I think dictates this whole conversation.
I'm just trying to figure, and y'all can say Lamar. No problem.
That's a standable
argument. Yes. I'm not disagreeing with that argument.
I hope. Thank you.
But I'm just – the man beat the San Francisco 49ers, and somehow – it's a negative?
I don't think it's a negative.
Somehow, the Patriots
and Seahawks are on Lamar's mantle right now in terms of defeats.
You're dodging the question.
He was not the catalyst.
What was the reason they won last night? The defense. They scored a touchdown. Clowney with the strip sack.
Yes.
What else we had? Garoppolo fumbles. the kickers.
He did well. He did it well at moments.
Well, Lamar Jackson played the worst team in the NFL.
Oh, and he was perfect against them both times. That's two perfect.
But this
games.
Was a this was perfect. This was an opportunity.
They do what they supposed to.
I just don't understand how it's a negative for Russ.
It's not. It's not. The only negative that you could pull from this is that Russ is performance. Do you realize 3 quarters into this game he did not have more passing yards than Garoppolo? Mm. 3 quarters into the game.
You do realize it's a 4-quarter game.
No, it was five quarters.
You realize that on all scorecards, George Foreman was ahead of Muhammad Ali and Zaire.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah,
but the difference between George Foreman and Muhammad Ali is that's man-to-man. That's a mano-to-mano. Mm. There were other factors involved as to why the Seattle Seahawks team won. And Russell Wilson was not the catalyst for why this
and
team won.
And it's okay to grade him.
Not the catalyst? Was not
no,
the catalyst.
He wasn't the reason. Was and it's okay to grade him against himself.
So who was throwing the football? Who was making them?
What do you mean throwing the football,
down?
Reggie? He had 155 yards when the game was over until they went to the overtime.
Okay, Lamar Jackson has had games where he's thrown zero touchdowns.
That's respect. And he also didn't have a game like
three,
that. Where
three
one
games,
touchdown,
zero touchdown.
It's a 155, one touchdown performance before overtime MVP caliber.
No.
Thank you. So what we're seeing right now is we're going to judge him by his own expectations and by the MVP expectations. By those standards, he was less than. It's okay.
Okay, last thing.
I mean, you can't
There's
go wrong
one
with that.
Quarterback this season has had 5 fourth-quarter comebacks. His name's Russell Wilson.
Why you down all the time in the fourth quarter, my coach will say. I'm just saying.
Hey, this ain't college football, bro. This is the NFL.
Whitlock and Wiley, Reggie Bush and LeVar Arrington are back. Time now for a big story. Let's return to Monday Night Football, where the Seahawks handed the 49ers their first loss of the year in an overtime thriller last night. As usual, San Francisco got some huge plays out of their defense, and it was their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, who looked like the team's weakest link, completing just 52% of his passes for just 248 yards, taking 5 sacks, losing 2 fumbles, and throwing 1 interception along with a few other potential picks that the Seahawks dropped. Question here, is Jimmy Garoppolo a problem for the 49ers moving forward?
No, he's not a problem. He's actually going to blossom exactly when they need him to. Don't forget his ride, and we go through this, but before last night, he had his best game this season, and we saw him start to insert himself as the reason that the 49ers were undefeated. Last night, obviously, the injury to Sanders and Kittle makes it a lot different for him at the quarterback position. But his psychological ride is interesting to me because I like to frame it rush to judgment. And Jimmy G, after 7 games started, everyone rushed to judgment and gave him that money. And then quickly thereafter, starting the next year, 1-2 and getting injured, everyone rushed to judgment that Jimmy G wasn't as good as advertised, wasn't up to the billing, wasn't worth the money, to the point where we start talking about his backup should be the guy and we should get rid of Jimmy G just because he was injured and he didn't have a winning record in that injury-filled year. So then Jimmy G comes back and he's like, all right, this is my first year starting after injury. Most guys take 2 years to recover from that injury. The first year is physical. The second one is mental. And his team is rolling. So what does he not want to do? Muck it up. Mess this up. So he goes along for the game management ride and then finally starts to feel confident and starts to insert himself. But then the injuries to his receivers and to his tight end. So I think that Jimmy G is growing in confidence that will finally blossom and fully mature when it comes playoff time when they need him most.
I agree with you. I do think that he is growing and he's blossoming, but he does have to quickly correct some of those mistakes that he made last night, because the point I was going to make earlier in the first segment, we're going to learn a lot about this 49ers team, because I don't know how good they are right now at this point. I know what the record shows, but the teams that they've beat have all been very average football teams. Cincy, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Rams, jury's still out, Redskins, Arizona. And in the second half of this season, when you need to make a push to the playoffs, separate yourself from the pretenders, they got the Packers, Rams again, Ravens on the road, Saints on the road, and the Seahawks on the road. And so those all could easily be 4, 5, 6 losses, and then we're having this conversation again, talking about a much different 49ers team.
I don't think he's a problem. Again, I think they're a field goal away from this being an even different discussion than what we're having right now. He threw for more yards than Russell Wilson. We just had a segment asking, is Russell Wilson the MVP of this league? Yeah. Garoppolo is playing his position as the quarterback of this team. And for all of the arguments that people may say that he isn't the answer or the key for this team or could be the problem, they are a one-loss team. If we're talking about moving into the future and prognosticating how they may or may not lose, as it stands right now, his body of work has them at one loss. It's working out what they're doing. Stick to the plan. Keep the formula the same.
Were you rewatching Penn State Minnesota last night?
Oh, why was that?
Why was that?
Did you not see what Garoppolo did?
Some of those,
he did not look good.
If you look at some, if you look at some of those plays, they weren't all his mistakes. And with that being said, when you have a defense that can play as well as their defense plays, you can take a couple risks.
This is the question
you,
about
you can take
defense.
A couple risks that
is
you
Jimmy
may not
Garoppolo
take.
A problem? Hell yes.
No.
I can't believe y'all. What did y'all watch?
No,
the man's inaccurate. He's loose with the football. I mean, my God.
We saw what your thou loose
him
message.
Wait a second.
Thou
these are the same
him.
Text we yes. get in the moment when we're watching the game.
Thou loose
he's loose with the football.
Yes.
He is loose with the football.
He's loose.
He fumbled twice. They dropped about three interceptions.
Yeah.
Did they drop some balls? Yes.
They dropped
about,
a lot.
About
they
nine of them. About nine. By stats, they dropped nine. He missed through about 18 of them.
But
and still threw for more yards than Russell Wilson.
Ooh.
That's not the standard.
And the team and was, why isn't it?
But they lost the game.
And minutes,
because
and
they missed a field goal, Reggie.
What does that mean, Reggie?
They missed a field goal.
LeVar.
Easier field goal than the one that sent it into overtime.
LeVar, I mean, sometimes I just question, did you play football?
Yes.
Because
and I'm the only coach on this.
Did you listen to anything your coaches said? Did you listen to anything your coaches said?
Yes.
You think a damn quarterback can fumble the ball and they can run it into the end zone and the coach is going to come into the locker room like, oh, we missed a field goal. The coach is mad about the damn turnovers.
Do you think a coach is going to come into the locker room, honestly, and be upset with Reggie Bush if he ran for more yards than the other running back on the other team?
And if he fumbled the balls, if he had three balls.
If you had more yards rushing, even if you fumbled, is he really going to be upset with you?
We lost the game and I had three fumbles. I would be mad at myself.
I'm going to be upset at you making the mistakes, but you still show production.
I need to join the coaching staff.
Is that fair?
Well, y'all got some foundation.
Is that fair?
That's not apples to apples because in the Reggie scenario, it would mean he had a couple offensive linemen missing, which if you talk about Jimmy G, he had a couple of his receivers missing. It's a dependent relationship.
That's why he fumbled.
No, that's not why he fumbled. That's why he was inaccurate. You were talking about the ball. He's loose with the ball as well. That's part of it. But isn't it weird?
Throwing behind an open receiver is because Emmanuel Sanders is on the bench?
No, that's because you don't have the same chemistry because this is not number one and number two in your pecking order. Now we're down to three. We don't
Emmanuel
have
Sanders just got there, by the way.
And 5 seconds off the airplane, he scored a touchdown. You know why? Because they got an established chemistry.
He still threw for more yards than Russell Wilson. He still threw for more yards than Russell Wilson.
That's what this is really about.
No,
he outperformed them.
It's about a quarterback that's far from perfect, but a team that was perfect, which is a positive, not a negative. And more than that, he is 14-3 as a starter. So call Herm Edwards now and say, we play to win the game. He wins more games than anybody out there.
And he has more wins than Russell Wilson right now.
Thank you.
I just want to be clear here about what this question is.
Yes. Yes.
It's not whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo is a good football player.
Right.
It's not about whether he outthrew Russell Wilson.
Is he a problem?
Is he a good football player? Yes. I think everybody would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Did he throw for more yards than Russell Wilson? Yes, no one freaking cares. They lost the game.
I care.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo a problem for the 49ers? I guarantee you if Kyle Shanahan was here right now being honest, I'm concerned. We can't have these kind of turnovers from our quarterback, and we damn near had two or three more. Mm-hmm. This can't happen. Whether Emmanuel Sanders or George Kittle are on the field, we need ball security. Every coach in football talks about the turnover battle, and that decides the game, not whether some kicker off the street blows a field goal. You halfway expect that.
Whit, can I also, to your point, and you guys, I know you can speak to this, there is a trickle-down effect. Right? When the quarterback is turning the football over, there's a trickle-down effect to the receivers, to just the sloppy play that we saw from the 49ers last night. And so can you at least agree to that, that there's a trickle-down effect?
No. I'm going to say a triple-up.
You play defense, man.
I'm going to say it's a trickle-up effect. You know why? Huh. I ain't got my boys out there. I ain't got Sanders. I ain't got Kittle.
You're supposed to elevate the guys around you.
Man, elevate what? Sometimes there ain't nothing to elevate. Maybe that's why you aren't my top two targets. Like, it's a really a balancing effect. Like, Jimmy G, as he's growing in the position, 14-3 as a starter, is still learning things in this position while coming off injury. You ever come off a catastrophic injury? It takes time to feel comfort in those situations. Disrupt that without your top two targets? Maybe this is what you should expect.
Okay, so let me push back on that then. If they get to the playoffs and there are guys injured, which could very well happen, and they don't win that playoff game, are we going to sit here and chalk that up to
Sanders isn't available for the playoffs, they might as well just
go ahead and pack it in. Don't show up then.
Have y'all paid attention to this Niners team before Jimmy Garoppolo took over as quarterback?
That's not the standard we're talking about.
But why isn't it? Why isn't it? And moving forward and saying, is he the problem?
Because Kyle Shanahan's not having that discussion. He doesn't care what they were back
then.
They
have one loss. They have one loss. Why is he a problem now with one loss?
Because he's loose with the football. That's a consistent
problem.
With
nine wins this year and one loss.
Yeah, you can get away with it when you play a soft schedule. As Reggie just pointed out, the schedule's about to toughen up.
To get real.
And again, the job here is we're trying to be ahead of the conversation and be like,
oh, we ahead.
Is this a potential problem?
We ahead. If we say he's a problem, we really ahead.
Not looking back, 2 years ago, they were trash.
If my team is 9-1 and you're questioning whether I'm a problem. Excuse me, 8-1 and you're questioning whether I'm the problem or not as the quarterback.
So there's no problems with San Francisco. I don't know a coach that doesn't look at his team and think there's a problem, even with Bill Belichick.
That's correct.
Undefeated.
That's correct.
There's always a problem.
That is correct.
But are you valuing the intangibles correctly? Are you even respecting the intangibles? Because like you said, you have to look at the contrasting effect of how sorry San Fran was before Jimmy G.
No, he said
It's valid.
And it's valid.
It's a valid point.
We are not measuring intangibles. We're just talking about yards. We're just talking about fumbles. We're talking about interceptions. But to stabilize this franchise and actually have it thriving, you got to give Jimmy G more credit and equity than you guys are. But do you foresee
those same mistakes that they made last night hurting them in the future, in the rest of
the season? They got a formula if they stick to it.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Joined now by NBA champion and first-time Speak for Yourself guest, Tony Allen.
Yes, sir.
Can you say he's Patrick Beverly's, like, father? did he start the whole Patrick
Beverly? Yeah, he is big uncle for sure. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
All right, let's move to the NBA, where after a disappointing first season in Los Angeles, LeBron James has come out with a vengeance this season, propelling the Lakers to a 7-2 start that has them in first place in the West. Now in his 17th year, LeBron has gotten himself into the MVP conversation with some incredible numbers. And they're actually on a par with the numbers he put up the last time he won the award back in 2013. And he is currently leading the NBA in assists. All right, can LeBron keep up his MVP pace all season?
He will sustain this pace, which can be MVP numbers, but he won't win the MVP. He may not even win the MVP of his team. Anthony Davis, just by birth certificate alone and the numbers he's going to put up and the energy that he's going to play with, and they're going to run their offense through him to the tune of why LeBron's assists are at this number, is the reason I don't think LeBron can win the MVP. We all know that that's a rotating trophy, and I just don't think that LeBron has the narrative that writers desire in terms of MVP. Look at the candidates out there. Luka Doncic is balling. Dame, Giannis, AD, as I mentioned. And when the writers are empowered to make that vote, they like to empower someone with that MVP status. LeBron's already the king. LeBron has the house on the hill and built another one next to it. I just don't see them really looking at LeBron and saying, you're our MVP.
Well, with me, I think LeBron is just in get-it-done mode. I don't think, he's looking forward to do this all year long. He's going to have to need the help shoulders of Kuzma. Looking forward to him to getting healthy. Dwight Howard, you know, those guys have been to the promised land before, played in the finals. And I just think he just got to get it, the lead by example role right now early and just stay up there in the standards.
That was kind of my narrative, is that he's going to put his best foot forward early to set a standard for everybody and then back off. But tell me this, do you think in year 17, can he sustain this high level of play?
Highly unlikely. He's getting older. You saw the injury last year. And even how he moved now, he doesn't look as agile as he did back in the day. And but like right now, I just think he's trying to win games and get his troops ready for the season.
Yeah.
Marcellus, I disagree with you, though, in terms of narrative. If he puts up these numbers, the media will hop on board, particularly if he puts up these numbers and they're the first or second seed in the West. They're going to hand this dude the trophy.
No, you guys can't forget how he came to the Lakers, there was resentment. The way he constructed these current Lakers, there's resentment. Mm. And there are other guys out there like James Harden, Kyrie Irving on top of the other guys that I've listed that just seem like they're better supported in terms of story with LeBron. When he's going to have a shared experience at best with Anthony Davis in trying to win this award for the team and for the league. So, as you said, LeBron's agility does look a step down. It's still the bully ball, but mentally you think you could guard LeBron. But physically you get out there and those physics take over. You're like, damn, he's still big. But he's not moving the same. And I think there's going to come a time during this marathon where he has to go in coast mode. And in that coast mode, those numbers will suppress. And then there goes your MVP.
I can see the assist stand there. I can see the rebounds. But that scoring, it might fluctuate, you know, because you're going to need help from those other guys. Get those other guys' confidence. You want Kuzma feeling good. You want Dwight and them feeling good, you know. So just, I think he's just pacing.
I tend to suspect he's going to back off, but I can also see a path where, particularly with Paul George coming back on Thursday, I think that Clippers monster is just going to be too much. And to me, winning the MVP in year 17 would be a great deodorant if they don't do well in the postseason. And I could see LeBron going for it. And I just think the backing by Nike, LeBron's got most of the media on lock. You know, anytime anybody criticizes LeBron, the media gets all weak in the knees and blah, blah. LeBron can win the MVP by narrative, by his control of the media, by Nike support. And in year 17, if he puts up numbers like he did in 2013, hell, I think he should win the MVP.
There's no I in team, to your point, but there's a me in team. And if LeBron hits the switch and says it's about me, year 17, that narrative over what the team needs, which is LeBron save some of this. Because look at the West. Because of all the duos, no longer just the super team, but dynamic duos, the wealth has spread. I mean, you talking about the Clippers. You got Utah sitting there, Portland, Houston. Like, and I know I'm forgetting some teams. It's going to be tough sledding just to get to that position. Yeah, LeBron needs
to. All right, to another guy off to a red-hot start, James Harden, who is on a historic pace this season, averaging 37.3 points per game, the most through the first 10 games in 50 years. Coming into the year, there were a lot of questions about how Harden, Russell Westbrook would share the load. But so far, Westbrook has been willing to defer, and the Rockets are 7-3 at the beginning of the year. All right, the question here is, think Harden-Westbrook duo will work long-term?
Oh, I think it will work, but I think it has its limits in terms of team success. But their relationship is going to be great. I mean, these dudes knew each other in fifth grade off Slauson and Crenshaw. You know what I mean? Like, their relationship is going to cut through philosophies and schemes because they're going to always pull in the same direction. So with that Western Conference that I just listed, all those tough teams that are in front of them in terms of power rankings, it's going to be difficult for them to have team success, even though their relationship will continue to blossom.
What I like about what Westbrook is doing, he's not demanding the ball. He's not having it in his hand at all times. I'm seeing this guy continue to attack the offensive glass. I'm seeing him backdoor cuts. He's running in transition. He's getting lobs. And to me, it looked like he's understanding what the media is saying, you know? And if he could just be that kind of effective in that aspect, I think they'll win a lot of ball games.
Familiarity breeds contempt. And so, you know, the closeness of their relationship is why they're going to be comfortable fighting. And eventually, I think Russell Westbrook's going to be Russell Westbrook. He's off to a great start. He's listening and doing the right things. But at the end of the day, Russ loves to have the ball in his hands. Russ is the ultimate alpha dog. He plays with an anger that, you know, I think off the ball, that anger works well. Once he has it in his hands, I think it affects his decision making. Eventually, to me, Russ is going to revert to the norm, what we've seen all along. He's going to clash. He clashed with KD. He's going to clash with James Harden.
Oh, we skipped somebody. Paul George. And who is Russ? Because this is what's funny about Russ's narrative, about the story of Russ. We forget when he deferred to Paul George. And Paul George, before the shoulder injury, was on the MVP candidacy because of Russell Westbrook saying, you got this, big dog. So which Russell Westbrook are we talking about? And that's unfortunate for a guy who's like, I've done this before, and y'all acting like it's brand new. So I don't think he reverts to anything. I think he continues to do this. It's just I think there is a ceiling because of the dominance of other teams in the West.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to him this summer as well. So one of the things he was looking forward to doing is just fitting in. And that was kind of surprising. You look at a guy with all this money, you thinking, okay, I'm about to go here and set my mark. But here's a guy who talked this summer as if, yo, I'm ready to be a sidekick, I'm ready to do whatever. And it kind of surprised me. So, and he's doing a good job of it right now. As you see on the film, he's making plays, he's cutting, getting the lobs and things of that nature. And that's all he got to do, be just a glue guy. If you so to speak, just be an energy guy. And I think that'll help them along the way.
How far could this team go?
What I want to see is how they handle adversity. Lose 5, 6, 7 games in a row.
Right.
I want to see if do James Harden keep his headphones on throughout the whole game or whatever the case may be. I just want to see how they challenge with it.
Well, if they lose 7 games in a row, I can tell you how far they're going. God dang. Y'all sorry? Y'all ain't going nowhere.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington, and Reggie Bush are back. Time now for Darnell's question of the day.
Yeah.
Take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to college football.
Aye.
After LSU's huge win over Alabama, an LSU player actually live streamed Coach Ed Orgeron's post-game speech in the locker room. Take a listen.
Damn.
Change the narrative.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
We're going to beat that in recruiting. We're going to beat that every time they see us.
Oh, God.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Roll Tide, what? You.
Yeah!
Now, the video actually went viral, and there was definitely a backlash to the speech and to the player's decision to put it out on social media. Coach O addressed the issue, saying the speech was a fiery moment and that if he wanted the outside world to see it, he would have said it in public.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you, do you think this whole thing is something or nothing?
Nothing. That's, I got no problem. Yeah.
You gonna say nothing too, or you just nothing? That's it. Nothing?
It's nothing.
Like nothing. Whitlock.
How's he supposed to feel? He beat Alabama and Nick Saban.
Oh, this is something. Look, first of all, being a college coach, professor, anyone in that ranks, it's to teach those who are in transition to adulthood. Let's just be real about this, okay? And even as a college football coach, you're going to use the instrument of football to teach these people how to grow and mature. What you don't do is tell them that we're going to build ourselves up in imagination to stand on the shoulders of Alabama. Instead of empowering them inside themselves and say, let's just see how high we can jump who we are as a collective. Now, this is my biggest problem with it. The fact that now you have defined your success based on what they are. Who in the hell are they? You know there's some dudes in there who wasn't cheering because they're like, hey, bro, I'm a 5-star my damn self. You over there looking like Alabama, like that's the king of the mountain. There was a time when Alabama wasn't the king of the mountain. So what were we going to use for goals then, coach? This is not something that can be everlasting as a mindset. It's crippling, and it's telling you to define yourself by somebody else's success. I ain't like it, and I don't want my son to hear about somebody else who's fresh. Be the next Reggie Bush. How about I be me first?
Yeah, oh, he wanted to
go ahead.
Yeah, I went there, and that's more than nothing.
He went to Columbia, so I expect that.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think that there's big enough football at Columbia to even go down that road with it, Marcellus.
Well, you better not then.
I got to step on that, and I have to squash that because...
Let's go.
In Power 5 football, you definitely build off of the reputation of other coaches, other programs.
Mm.
If we get Ohio State when Penn State plays them,
I hope they're having that conversation in the locker room.
Yep.
If you beat a team that has beat you you have an 8-game losing streak to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
You're losing to them in recruiting. You're losing to them on the field. Let me tell you something. If I am going to be fighting against you for the same exact players, and we're saying the same exact things, the problem I have here is that it aired over social media.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with him setting a standard saying that ain't nobody going to be kissing the Roll Tide ring. Ain't nobody going to be sitting there rolling over.
Hold on. Who are you talking Alabama? To, coach? Last time I checked, ain't nobody ever said we kissing their ring. So why are you bringing it up?
Y'all losing every year.
Hold on. These are new players. They ain't lose to them. You didn't lose
it's
to
them. It's been 8 years of losing.
Hold on.
8 years of losing.
What super senior you know been there 8 years?
Yeah, but there's that's two
generations. All those losses ain't on me, bro. So why are you
Some
talking
of
about
them
it?
Are, though.
You know what's funny? Nick Saban has it best. When he wins a national championship, you know what he says the first day of the next year of practice? We are not repeat champions. All y'all in here ain't had that success. Y'all need to cleanse y'all minds.
I haven't
You're
heard Nick Saban
at the end of the game
live.
Saying, F Alabama?
Go ahead, Reggie.
I haven't
Come
heard
on,
man. Live.
Listen, first of all, that's very mild for Coach Ogeron, what he said. He's lucky he didn't say anything
he
worse
He could have said a lot
that.
More. We know.
Do you not have a problem with the kid live streaming it? Like, we didn't even talk about that. You mad at the coach. No, what about the kid?
The content matters more than the medium for me, but go ahead.
What?
Let's go.
The content matters more?
Let's go. Reggie Bush.
Nah, I don't have an issue with this because at the end of the day, they won. They stepped on the throats of the giant in that division that has beat them 8 years in a row. This is a jungle.
Hold on.
Jungle.
Hold on.
To Columbus.
This was jungle.
Hold
on. You know what this
was? I'm gonna tell you what. Literally for Ed Orgeron, Muhammad Ali has a picture of him standing over Sonny Liston like this, and that's what Ed Orgeron just did.
Yeah.
Because before that, Nick Saban was the champion, and they just feel like they knocked him out.
Yeah.
And
he
said, you know what? We may see him again in the playoffs, and I want y'all to remember this feeling because we're going to knock him out again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And we're going to stomp him out every chance we get.
Yep.
This sounds like the stuff, hell, you would have hated
him. Legends are made
look,
of.
I'm down at Ball State. We're finna play Ohio U, and I'm cussing and screaming and telling them we finna kick their ass. And Ohio U's not the, I'm sorry, what game was that I was at?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Ohio U because we lost Ohio State.
Yeah.
Penn State, because we don't play y'all.
It wasn't Penn State. But again, I'm just sorry.
What?
I love the emotion.
You love this?
Love it.
You love it? Especially when you're going to have to see him again. And now their home stadium is
so
your
what?
House.
You scared?
You scared?
Nobody said you're scared. But guess what? That shows me more fear that you defined your whole existence based on them.
Not so much.
Hold on. Why is it your house?
You got a plan, though.
You got Death Valley, bro. You talking about Alabama's your house? You want Tuscaloosa? Death Valley last time I checked.
Death Valley's Clemson.
I mean, not Death Valley. Was it the Swamp? No, that's not Swamp. What is that called?
I don't know where LSU.
LSU.
Death Valley is, I'm sorry.
That is Death Valley, right? Damn, you threw me off so much. I was like, I thought it was Death Valley. So here's the point. I'm not, look, the way I'm built, I built it on my expectations, my imaginations, and that is abundant. It's not built on what you already accomplished on the side of me saying I want to be next to you or better than you.
I
don't like that.
Here's where I think you're missing, honestly. And I'm actually elevating you, not trying to diminish. You got a Columbia mindset, Marcellus. You're an intellectual.
Yes, I am.
He's dealing with football players.
What you mean? What? We ended up. Hold on. Since I went to class too, don't think that I took my football off. They trying to get where I went, where I've already been. And y'all should feel really bad.
Look, if you're in a room speaking to a bunch of accountants, yeah, you stay high class.
A bunch of accountants. Last time I checked, I wasn't no accountant.
Wall Street executive. He's talking to football players.
So you said he's dumbing it down?
Dogs, man.
So he's dumbing it down.
No, he's keeping it real for his team.
Oh, that's real?
Yeah.
Well, most of those guys not even
gonna get
most
right
of those
there.
Guys ain't even gonna go where I've been, and that's real. I'm trying to tell them what's next. I'm trying to tell them what's
it's
better
a great
for
life. Message for Columbia.
I'm giving them an eternal message, not just something to beat Alabama.
Don't bring it
one
to Ball
time.
State. We had 900 SATs all through my locker.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, whatever y'all learn, y'all need to learn more.
LeVar Arrington's back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Bucky Brooks. Time for the most fearless discussion in sports. Let's move to Lamar Jackson, who just led the Ravens to another win, running all over the Bengals en route to a 49-13 victory. But now the most accomplished mobile quarterback in NFL history. Oh, Randall Cunningham's like a
worm. Man.
Steve Young says Lamar still has a lot to learn and should actually look to Deshaun Watson for inspiration, saying yesterday, quote, "I think until further notice to play championship football, you're going to have to be the orchestrator from the pocket. You can't make enough plays as electrifying as they are and proven by Deshaun Watson. He should watch Deshaun Watson. That means that foundationally, I'm going to be rooted at this quarterback orchestrating from the pocket. If Lamar can follow Deshaun's footsteps because Deshaun is doing that, they both can be, to me, outlawed. They should be outlawed from the NFL. All right, the question is, do you agree with Steve Young's comments that Lamar needs to be more like Deshaun Watson?
No. And all principals in this conversation, Lamar, Deshaun, and Steve, I love. But to make an argument, I may say a thing or two that makes it seem like I don't. Championship football, as proven by Deshaun Watson. Last time I checked, Houston, Texas
has
have
no
not won no championship. Oh, we're going to college. Oh, okay. I hate to do this, but Lamar Jackson won a Heisman. Did Deshaun Watson win?
Championships now, yeah.
Okay, did he win?
Championships.
He won championships, right? So we got the collegiate level to the pro level. Thank you. This is what I wanted to do. You fell into the trap. The transition. We went from team to individual and then said that that individual can't win a team award. That's messed up because I lived through an era when they were trying to talk about a term that I don't even hear anymore. It's called tweener. You ever heard of tweener?
Yeah,
remember tweener?
Slash.
Tweener was a negative.
Yes.
How dare you? It ruined a draft opportunity for one Jason Taylor, future Hall of Famer, came out of my draft class. We worked out together. I was telling my friends, dude, you should see who's in my combine group. He's 6'6", 240, next level. And it's like, but they like you more. I was like, they stupid. This dude is next. But they didn't know what to do with him.
Because he's light.
Because he was light. And so he fell to third round while I went in the second round because I was prototypical by the numbers.
You were heavier.
I was heavier. I could play the run in their minds when Jason Taylor is a Hall of Famer, could play the run as well. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is looking at someone maximizing all of their attributes as a negative. Mm. And the NFL has shown you with the tweener, and I have other examples, but I'm not going to hog all the time in my first go round, where you just have to go with the evolution. And you can't resist that same evolution by using collegiate team success or trying to now downplay someone's individual play in a team professional atmosphere. I think Steve Young miscalculated this response because Lamar Jackson is different.
I love the word that you brought up, evolution, because I believe this is the evolution of the quarterback position on a larger scale. What we've always seen in youth levels in high school football, you take your best athlete, you put him at quarterback so he can touch the ball every time. The quarterback position is the most impactful position in football. Lamar Jackson is a case study in that. He's basically playing high school ball on a pro level. Now, I do believe with Steve Young to a point, he does have to evolve. But the evolution for Lamar Jackson is Russell Wilson. Mm. I can, but I don't. Mm. I can run. I can use my legs. I can run zone read, but I don't have to. I
Why
only need to do
Deshaun
it
Watson?
When I need to. Huh?
Why isn't that Deshaun Watson?
Because Deshaun Watson is the end product. Russell Wilson, I've seen win a championship. Got I haven't seen Deshaun Watson do that. Mm. Russell Wilson is in year 6 or 7. Yep. So he understands how to take what he could do athletically and kind of mix it with, let's stay in the pocket, but we'll use it when we need it.
I disagree with him because I think if he was going to make the argument to Marcellus's point and to Bucky's point, don't lead off by saying that's championship football. It has yet to be defined. Because if you really want to say it, then just use you as an example. Mm-hmm. Put yourself out there. Don't put Deshaun Watson out there. Mm. Put yourself out there and say, you know, this is yet to be defined, because the easy response to it is to say Deshaun Watson doesn't have a championship in the league either. That's first.
You're saying Steve Young should say, be more like Steve Young.
Yes.
Be like me.
And yes.
Because he has a Super Bowl.
No, I get it. But he's smart enough to realize the politics, the identity politics of that. If he told a black quarterback to play
like
me.
Well, then don't make the quote.
Well, no, he made the quote. He's a freaking Super Bowl quarterback in a Hall of Fame.
Then make the quote.
Why did I say Russell
Wilson? Then make the quote.
Because he said Deshaun Watson because he thinks Deshaun, they're peers. And he's already looking at Deshaun Watson to make the transition.
Deshaun Watson is not removed from the accomplishments of Lamar.
He hasn't distanced Lamar himself Jackson. From Lamar Jackson.
So how are you telling him to say play like him?
Because what he's saying is, I'm looking at Deshaun Watson make the transition that I want Lamar Jackson to make. There's no malicious intent. There's nothing.
I don't here. Think.
It's
I
just
don't,
somebody giving advice.
I don't think it's malicious. No, it's I think malicious. That it's marginalizing a unicorn. All right. And when you and when you see like when that. You see a unicorn, you don't really know what you're looking at. And it's a fictitious fantasy figure. And
y'all need
that's
to stop
what we're
it.
Looking no, at a guy
stop
that
it.
Has
y'all
the,
need to stop
the,
it.
He has the ability and the talent to redefine the description of the position. If you never saw it, if you never knew it, then you don't stop know it. What the first stop. One looks like.
OK, but just remember this. As an NFL prospect, and just as a quarterback, Steve Young's got more talent than any of these guys we're talking about. And
what
he
do you
came,
mean?
And he more talent when he was the original unicorn, Steve Young.
Truth.
Let's don't kid ourselves.
How many
and
people
so
told Steve Young you ain't gonna play because of the way you're
no,
lefty?
I heard
you're a lefty and you run. How
I
many
heard
people
it.
Said? As
I
a matter of fact, he didn't even get to start in the National Football League. He had to start in a different league altogether. If we're using him as an example,
he didn't get run out of the NFL. He took more money in the USFL. He went to the LA Express, paid him a boatload of money.
Then he came
was
and
the
sat
original
behind Joe.
Unicorn, and he's telling the next iteration of himself in his opinion, and he may be wrong. But he's
that's all we say.
Use yourself.
Look, I'm just going to look at the motives behind this. And there's two things I want to talk about. One is this underlying reasoning that supports, you got to be careful and stay in the pocket. Injuries. We all think about injuries. But as soon as you cross them white lines, all y'all going to pay for this. Mm-hmm. All y'all going through hell. Pocket passers included. Who got hurt this year in terms of pocket passers? Let's look at this list. Oh, my goodness. Nick Foles, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Big Ben, Jacoby Brissett. Couldn't run a 40 in 8 seconds, but they all got tapped
here's
out.
Here's the point, though, Marcellus. Mm-hmm. Here's the point.
I'm not even said, done with the injury.
You can though. Get, I know, but you can get injured in the pocket, out of the pocket. You can get coming off the bus, in practice, whatever. Right. But if you're a quarterback that part of your value is based on running and you have a leg injury, you've now diminished your value.
Like Deshaun Watson did before he even got to the pros. ACL. Then non-contact
no
in practice, too. That's why I don't think it's so genuine to bring up him as an example.
Right.
When one, he's not even in the MVP consideration as high as Lamar Jackson.
No,
and they're both 0-1 in the playoffs. So what success... Damn, this sounds like a shot. It's not Deshaun.
It's not
What success does Deshaun have that Lamar can't sit there and say, I'm in that ball game. I'm
it's
comparable.
Not enough
Where?
To, it's not
Where?
Enough to compare the two. That's what I would
it's
say.
It's a cautionary tale. What the guy says, like, trust me, Deshaun Watson came into the league with a lot of hype, got drafted higher than Lamar Jackson, hurt his leg, and because he's transitioned into a pocket passer, his value remains super high.
But he always was this player.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson
what's
was always this player at Clemson.
Right.
And I think if I'm Lamar Jackson, I have a tough time having someone tell me to play like Deshaun Watson when in college I felt like we played against each other
and I was
the best guy on the field.
I was better.
So why
that's
would
my
I
point.
So why would I bring myself
it's
down
it's
to someone that I feel like I'm superior?
That's
so
Alabama LSU.
If Steve Young really wants
Fair
to be
enough.
Sincere
Thank
to Lamar
you.
Jackson, he should say,
Pixel.
Look, for long term for long term success. You're going to have to find a way to be able to sustain yourself
Come
in the pocket. Because we haven't seen running quarterbacks who continue to run well into their 30s.
Come talk
if
to me.
If he said that, that is one. Why not say, what about Randall Cunningham, who was the original running quarterback who then became the pocket passer that led Minnesota to a dynamic season and had them on the cusp of winning the Super Bowl. However, I think all of this is painted because we always look at the game through traditional eyes.
Yes.
Every analyst that is on TV that plays quarterback is what?
A pocket passer.
Until we get a Michael Vick or a Donovan McNabb to be on TV and to talk about playing the position like they played it, we always will be jaded in terms of how we expect a quarterback to play.
Michael Vick is on this network every Sunday talking NFL football. Donovan McNabb had TV, tricked it off.
In games.
In games. When you digested it, while you're still chewing
it. That's perfectly fine. But Steve Young was a running quarterback.
Sure, we all know
just
that.
Just because his skin's not black, he was a running quarterback.
We ain't even talking about that.
Why not use yourself?
Why you keep
He's
talking
a
about
quarterback
that
Randall Ball is giving a running quarterback some advice. He's no different than Michael
Vick. And didn't use himself as an example.
He's no different than
Michael Vick. Use somebody who is on his level, if not, maybe argument, not even as good as.
My point is, he's no different than Michael Vick.
Then use Michael Vick.
No, I'm saying Steve Young was a running quarterback who learned how to throw the ball and threw the ball, but he's no different than Michael Vick giving advice.
But why not use himself?
Use yourself.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Use yourself.
Because Lamar, you can have a gold jacket.
I've already explained that. Y'all know how that would play on social media. I know what y'all would say.
But use what would we say?
Oh, my God, here's a white quarterback telling the black kids.
Nobody got your
anything.
I wasn't born.
That gave me more street cred. If Steve Young stepped out and said, be more like me, that gave me more street cred. Like, I respect that.
Okay.
I mean, Colin Kaepernick was an incompletion away from being a Super Bowl winning quarterback as a runner.
Mm.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah?
A power outage. He was a power outage.
We got
outage
a power away. Outage.
Lavar and Buckley are back. Let's move to Kansas City, where the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes back Sunday, but still managed to blow a lead to the Titans at home. Falling to 6-4 on the year, Andy Reid's squad has now lost four of their last six and are just a half game ahead of the Raiders in the AFC West. And their defense has clearly been the weak link, ranked near the bottom of the league in rush defense, total defense, red zone percentage, and penalties. You guys losing any confidence in Andy Reid and the Chiefs?
I am. And you nailed it, talking about the middle of their defense especially, how porous it is. And we saw it in the rush defense as well. That seesaw effect, sometimes you see it with teams where, oh, we have this offense and the defense for some collective reason doesn't show up. And as great as Patrick Mahomes is, they are the opposite. And they continue to be the opposite. And it's going to be the Achilles heel for this team because you can't just go out there and outscore all your opponents. And that's going to come back to haunt them.
I think it's tough for Andy Reid because he has all these weapons. I was talking to an NFL defense coordinator. He said they may have too many weapons. They have so many guys that the way that you want to play with these weapons is you want to play fast so you have more plays, more touches for their guys. The problem is when you play that up-tempo style, you now have to put your defense out there for more plays. And we've seen that their defense can't stop running games. So Andy Reid has to make a decision. Do I put a throttle on Patrick Mahomes to spare my defense from the exposure that will ultimately lead us to lose? I just think it's hard for an offensive guy to say, I'm going to choke down my offense because it's in my defense best interest to not be on the field.
And that's a great reason to lose confidence in this team. I also tend to look at it from, historically speaking, Andy Reid has so much success during the regular season. We've never questioned how, or at least strongly questioned, Andy Reid's leadership and accomplishments in the regular season. It's always in the postseason where he gets into trouble. He struggles to get to the Super Bowl, made the Super Bowl, doesn't win the Super Bowl. So to start struggling on this stretch the way that they are, lends me to look at it from a concerning eye because he generally has more dominant performance coaching during the regular season.
The two games that they played without Patrick Mahomes, the defense actually elevated and played well.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happened is just a small thing that I pay attention to. When Matt Moore was out there at quarterback, when Matt Moore would come off, I never saw the camera pan to Andy Reid sitting on the bench next to Matt Moore. When the defense was on the field, the times I saw it, Andy Reid was on the sidelines watching his defense. But as soon as Pat Mahomes comes back, I start seeing the video of Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid sitting on the bench, the defense out there playing like garbage. The accountability for the defense isn't there because the head coach, when Patrick Mahomes is around, all he cares about is Patrick Mahomes. Oh. He don't take care of his side pieces, the defense, the way that he should. He spends all the time with his main.
And that's why in the streets.
But when you say that, is that? What does that represent in that moment? Because I'd like to understand that. Because generally speaking, defensive guys don't have much interaction with the head coach.
Great point.
And so I don't Bill Belichick feel it. Has trying, very little interaction with.
Well,
the
he's
defense.
He's a defensive coach, but I'm saying if you're on a team where you knowingly have an offensive minded coach, you generally don't have interaction with.
There's
that
an
coach.
Accountability. Yeah. The head coach, to me, on it again, I obviously didn't play at the NFL level. The head coach carries a different weight than any coordinator, any assistant. I used to hate when the head coach showed up, the energy would go down, oh, daddy's here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm assuming the same thing happens in football.
Is that representation with the coaches? Maybe it's representation with the coaching staff more so than the players.
It's interesting.
If that accountability from Reed isn't there to watch what they're doing.
Right. The accountability is between the coaching ranks, not so much on the field. Because on the field, one, it doesn't affect our climate. We're just trying to get the call. Most of the time, I'm interacting with my linebacker more than anybody. Yes. And then he's interacting with the coordinator. Coordinator's interacting with the head coach. And maybe that weight comes downhill. We don't feel that until we get into the meetings the next day and hear it. But that's an interesting point.
I think you got a good point. The point is, Pat Mahomes is such a talent that when Andy Reid has him, he can't just stop thinking about different ways that we can open up this offense. And so when you're an offensive-minded coach, all you think, man, I got this guy who is like Brett Favre. Man, let's figure out how we can score more points. And sometimes he does it to the detriment of the team. We always hear in the playoffs, because you brought up a good point about it, we don't hear about his playoff success. In the playoffs, you have to play complementary football, meaning that as a coach on offense, how can I call the game offensively to support my defense? Does that mean I need to run the ball more? Does that mean we need to slow it down and score in late stretches? I'm going to say this, and I think this is the biggest thing that's really wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs, and no one has really talked about this. They miss Kareem Hunt. This team has been different since Kareem Hunt was removed from the roster. Say what you want about Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt was a leading rusher, and when they had him, they could salt away games so the defense didn't have to go out there. I know there was a time where we were excited about, hey, the back by committee, their guys are doing it. They don't have the same kind of running game.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Russell Wilson.
You know?
All right, big dummy of the day.
Oh, man. Big dummy of the day go to the person who sat up here on the panel and said, Lamar, did you play football? That's like asking you, Jason, you ever ate a rib?
Yeah, you did.
Damn.
All right, let's talk Russell Wilson.
Play football.
Who led the Seahawks to a big win over the 49ers last night. 8-2 Seattle is now just a half game back of the 8-1 San Francisco 49ers.
Give me that.
Marcellus, you think the Seahawks catch the Niners and win the NFC West?
No. Both have some tough sledding coming ahead with the schedule. I'm not going to read that off, but I think they're comparable. Seahawks behind. I think that was a game for the 49ers last night, even though they lost. I think that 49ers prevail. 49ers win the division.
I think the Seahawks catch up with the 49ers. They beat them on the road last night. They beat them in San Francisco's home. They got them at the end of the year.
Missed my kick.
In Seattle.
My kick.
So, anyway, Uncle Jimmy.
My kick.
Your thoughts on Russell Wilson last night, the leader in the MVP race.
Well, once again, you done shown that me and you done grew up in two different hood genres.
What's that?
You over here talking about Russell Wilson look like James Bond.
007, yeah.
He looked more to me, he looked more like Rudy Ray Moore.
Rudy Ray Moore.
He made a film. He was a comedian who made a film back in the 70s called Dolomite.
That's
you might have heard of it.
Yeah, I did.
Netflix just did a movie about it. It's starring Eddie Murray. I'll let you borrow my password if you want to look at
Eddie
it.
Eddie Murphy, but go ahead. Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Look here, man. If you would have saw Russell Wilson in that press conference last night, you would have known he thought he was Dolomite. And you know what I mean. Man, he came to the press conference talking about way down in the jungle deep, a badass man named Russell Wilson came and stepped on the 49ers' feet. Now, he said, I know you, Mitty Ficky, said that I wasn't great, but what you got to say now after what I just did in Golden State? See, San Francisco thought they was the terror. But they never should have messed with the cat that brought home Sierra. See, Javion Clowney came off that end real fast. Little Jimmy Garoppolo didn't know what hit that ass. See, I clowned Nicky Bosa in a hell of a way. Sidestepped that punk and made his hair turn gray. Now, Kyle Shanahan thought that I was his little man. And by the end of the night, at the end of the night, he told everybody that I was his Tarzan. Oh, now, old little Richard Sherman, I got some words for you, too. See, your granddaddy got crabs out of his ass, and they all singing the Yankee Doodle Doo. See, Jimmy G, I know your girlfriend got the whooping cough, and I know your sister got the measles, and your kicker running around here like somebody got a foot up his ass, singing, I'm coming home to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Way down in the jungle. If y'all just act like you understand, I'll talk to you like you're a natural born man. What you talking about?
We're talking about the approval rating.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Petey Wheatstraw. They said he the devil's son-in-law.
I'm talking about Jimmy Garoppolo's approval rating. Russell Wilson, I'm sorry. Russell Wilson's approval rating.
How much?
He stays the same.
Eddie Murphy,
all-star for me. Yeah. I move him up a point in job performance. Move him up a point in all-time greatness. Dropped him 2 points authenticity because I didn't like the little post-game routine with Richard Sherman.
Oh, yeah, like that? It was a little fake?
Yeah, like that. Fake to me, not authentic.
Oh, Russell Wilson being fake? Oh, really?
79, all-star status.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had to drop him, too. That wasn't an MVP-level performance like he's been giving us all year long. And like you said, that handshake at Russell Wilson. But we got any more, Dolomite?
They said ain't no future in your front.
Yeah.
Hey, I got Sierra, so boy, y'all ain't getting nothing.
Can't unsee what I saw. Boy, you need to put on a bra.
All right. You don't want to fight. Don't go on and mess with me tonight.
48% Dolomite, shut up.